When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is the Training Camp Report with Tom Opperman and Bob Labriola on Steelers Nation Radio.
Before we get into what happened yesterday during Steelers practice, a very significant day for Steelers Nation as the 2023 Hall of Honor class was announced at St. Vincent College. James Harrison, Ray Mansfield, Jerry Mullins, and Aaron Smith are your four inductees. Labs, you got two from the modernish era and you got two from the Wayback Machine era. Well done, first of all. You're a member of the committee that selects these four individuals and really don't have anything negative to say about any of these guys. Great four picks.
Yeah, thank you. One of the things that I have found and, being fortunate enough to be on this committee since the start is the decisions that are made, with all of these guys, going back from the very beginning, is it's never if they belong, it's when do they get in? When is it their turn in terms of, you only pick, except for the first class, which included all of the franchise's Hall of Famers,
right.
All of the other classes were pretty much four people. It was five that one time, I think, because of, we made a little bit of a special accommodation for Tunch because of his, ALS diagnosis and, wanted to do something for him in terms of, in a way where, he would still be able to enjoy it a little bit. And so, it's always just a win. Like you mentioned, these four guys, all of them deserve to be in. I mean, and it just so happened that, this was their year. And what I've learned a lot of times is that when we start the discussions for the next class, names come up. And as I said, you're only putting in four, so there are guys who, I hate to use a baseball analogy, end up kind of being on deck. You're right. Talking about, like last year, we were talking about some of these guys, and we only pick four. And so a lot of times it's kind of easier in terms of putting them in some sort of order. These four guys, it was, there's six people on that committee, and naturally there's some opinions in that room and some strong opinions, but I've found that there's always a unanimity. We come to an agreement, and this was pretty much a unanimous pick for these guys. And so you mentioned two from recent times, two from, as you call it, the Wayback Machine. 10 Super Bowl rings in this group.
Pretty nice.
And just looking at them alphabetically, I'll start with James Harrison. James Harrison, when you think of a Steelers linebacker and a lot of the characteristics that come to mind just with that description, Steelers linebacker, James Harrison has them. Physical, mean on the field, certainly intimidating.
Just ask that Browns fan that ran onto the field.
Right. James Harrison, he's still the all-time franchise leader in sacks. That may fall
for now,
at some point. He became the first and only to this date, anyway, undrafted player to be voted Defensive Player of the Year. So there's that. We all know that about Super Bowl 43
right.
And what he did in that game with that 100-yard pick six, But, you know, from my memory, and I remember this every bit as vividly as Super Bowl 43, what he did in that game, is the Monday night game in 2007, really his first year as a full-time starter, Mike Tomlin's first year as a Steelers coach. It was a game against the Ravens on November the 5th. And I'll just, you know, I wrote these stats down because you don't want to forget anything. And it's, you know, very difficult to wrap your head around it. 9 tackles, 3.5 sacks, 6 hits on the quarterback, an interception, 2 forced fumbles, 2 fumble recoveries. That was on defense. On special teams, he had a tackle and forced another fumble.
That's like playing with a Madden created character.
Right. It's almost like a video game. Right. You know, you don't see that kind of stuff, you know, happen in real life. And there was a game in 1972 where Joe Green had 5 sacks and, you know, blocked a field goal, and the Steelers won like 9-6 or something, which to me is maybe the most dynamic individual performance in a regular season game. But James Harrison is at worst number 2 in franchise history. And going back to that Ravens game, you know, the Steelers won that game 38-7. They had a 35-0 lead at halftime. But Harrison, his strip sack fumble recovery led to a touchdown. He had a tackle and the forced fumble on the punt return, which, you know, were his special teams stats. That led to another touchdown. His interception set up another touchdown all in the first half. So James Harrison's defensive plays set up 3 easy touchdown drives for the Steelers in a half that they were winning 35-0. They ended up winning the game 38-7. So, you know, there's that. Ray Mansfield played 182 regular season games in a Steelers uniform, 152 games he started. Starting center in Super Bowls 9 and 10. And, you know, Andy Russell always told the story of Chuck Knoll's first team meeting. He said they were sitting in the room and Chuck Knoll said, you know, our goal is to win a Super Bowl. And there was laughter in the room. I mean, can you believe it? You know, this coach talking. Now our image of Chuck Knoll is this, you know, iconic Hall of Fame figure. But at the time, he was just some young guy, you know, from Baltimore, that the Colts had just lost to the Jets, okay, in Super Bowl III. So there's that. So, you know, there was some laughter in the room. And then Chuck said, but most of you aren't good enough to be here when we do.
Well, there's the Chuck we know and love.
Right. But there were 5 people in that room who were good enough. Ray Mansfield, Rocky Blyer, Sam Davis, Andy Russell, and Bobby Walden. Those are the 5 guys that survived the purge and went on to win, you know, at least 1 Super Bowl ring. Ray Mansfield ended up with 2 and started in both of those games. Moon Mullins, he was a starting right guard on all 4 of those 70 Super Bowl teams, 9, 10, 13, and 14. You know, he also, earlier in his career, played right tackle. And he was the starting right tackle for that play that you might have heard of. What was it? It's called the Immaculate Reception. Ooh, play.
That does ring a bell.
Yeah. And, you know, the Steel Curtain, that nickname first applied to the defensive line of Joe Green, Ernie Holmes, L.C. Greenwood and Dwight White. Everybody, you know, famous defensive line. Won a bunch of Super Bowls. Now, not 4 because Ernie Holmes only lasted for 2 of those. But, you know, you don't think very much of the offensive line that was responsible for winning all those Super Bowls, yeah, too. Now, Mike Webster, obviously, is in the Hall of Fame. But the selection of Moon Mullins for the Hall of Honor kind of completes the package for those for the offensive line of that era. You know, Webster went in the first class as one of the Hall of Famers, the franchise's Hall of Famers. But since then, you know, we've been able to get in Larry Brown, Sam Davis, John Kolb, Moon Mullins, and Mansfield. And so, you know, you got to respect both lines of scrimmage, obviously. And Moon Mullins's selection, I think, kind of completes the set for the offensive line. You know, he played 124 games, 87 starts in the regular season. He played another 18 playoff games with 12 starts, you know, in the postseason. So this is a guy who, you know, is deserving. And every time you've watched that Franco Harris touchdown run in Super Bowl IX, there's a key block made on the perimeter that gets him around the corner and down the sideline, and he ends up in the end zone. That's Moon Mullins' block. You see him making that play, number 72. Aaron Smith, you know, one of the great quotes about Aaron Smith, in my opinion, is Dick LeBeau's. When Dick LeBeau was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, as a player, not as a coach, but at his acceptance speech, you know, he talked a little bit about why he thought he had been able to achieve the recognition to finally get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame as a player. And he said that that was because of the Steelers' defenses that he coordinated, how good they were, and got his name back kind of in the mainstream a little bit. And it builds some momentum. And, that, you know, a lot of times that's how people get elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And he called Aaron Smith the best 3-4 defensive end he ever coached. Now, when you think about a 3-4 defense, how it's set up, what it's designed to do, the different roles that individual players have to do, perform in order for the unit to be a success, you know, the ends on the defensive line are not, that's not a glamour position. I mean, it's not a, hey, look at me position. I mean, that's more the outside linebackers, the safeties, you know, those kind of people. But still, Aaron Smith put up a lot of numbers. 44 sacks from a 3-4 defensive end is unheard of. It really is. I mean, this guy was never supposed to be a big part of the pass rush, but he made himself, you know, a big part of the pass rush. And, you know, you can gauge a player's worth in a lot of different ways. And one of the ways you can gauge a player's worth is how the team does when he's not on the field. And so if you, I look back at Aaron Smith's career, and, you know, he was a fourth round pick in 1999, and he played a lot, he was an Iron Man for a lot of years. But in 2007, which was Mike Tomlin's first season here, he missed 5 games down the stretch of the regular season. And that also coincided with the period for that team where they seemed to be running out of gas. But he missed those 5 games and the playoff game at the end of that. And the Steelers were 1-done in those playoffs, 3-2 in the games that he missed. And it was a significant, noticeable drop-off in play without Aaron Smith. 2008, he didn't miss any games, and that defense will go down as one of the best.
No question.
In franchise history, and, you know, you can make a case for that defense as one of the best in modern NFL history for a lot of the things that it accomplished. Then the following year, you know, the Steelers are defending Super Bowl champions, 2009. Aaron Smith missed the last 11 games of the season. The Steelers finished 6-5 and missed the playoff. They were one win short of getting back into the playoffs. And then, you know, who knows, with a defending Super Bowl champion, with, you know, with the pedigree that a lot of those players had still, who knows what happens. What if they would have gotten into the playoffs? They missed the playoffs by one win. They were one win away from doing that. And so, you know, Aaron Smith missing 11 of those games, you think that he, you think they might have been able to come up with one more win. You know, you just, I do anyway. And so you look at the that, as I mentioned, that defense, how great it was. That defensive line, Aaron Smith, I think, is the first person to be inducted into the Hall of Honor from that defensive line as part of that unit. And I think he deserved to be the first defensive lineman inducted into the Hall of Honor from that defense. And, you know, it's only right that that's what actually happened. So, yeah, four guys. Oh, you're always happy with the Hall of Honor class. But, I mean, I think that this one made a lot of sense. All of these guys did significant things for this franchise. And it was kind of gratifying, you know, to see all of their hard work and quality play rewarded.
Yeah, no doubt. Incredibly deserving for all four of those gentlemen. Cannot wait to celebrate them later on this season at Acrisure Stadium during a game and officially put them into the Hall of Honor. The team currently had to get down to business, though, once the festivities ended yesterday. Practice wasn't going to take a back seat for anything, and Coach Tomlin shared his thoughts on how he thought practice went with the media after it concluded. Let's take a listen.
I'll start with a quick injury report. DeMarvin Leal was taken off the field, evaluated. He had a little difficulty breathing. We don't think it's significant. KZ had an ankle injury of some description. He's being evaluated as well, maybe a day or two. Alfonso Graham appeared to have a shoulder injury when he fell and hit the ground, and he's also being evaluated. Non-injury related, man, I excused Minka for a few days. Man, he's dealing with a personal matter. He's being excused, and he has my support. Couple other guys limited by a variety of reasons, but that's just minor things associated with this time of year as we continue to acclimate ourselves to this environment, the work, and the process. Speaking of that, I just really love what transpired today. I love when we're faced with challenges. Today it came in the form of weather conditions. It's an important component of development. You get an opportunity to develop necessary skills that allow us to operate under these circumstances. You also get to show skills. I called the group up in the midst of it and talked directly to them about it because I wanted them to feel it. Oftentimes when you get weather like we got today, it's difficult to stay on your feet and in the secondary, for example. And we got to do a great job of staying on our feet in conditions like this. The throwing and catching of the football on the offensive side and the common sense adjustments associated with that component of play. The ball security component of play from an offensive perspective. Flip side of that, the ball search opportunity on the defensive side of the ball in conditions such as this. And so that's what this process is about. We never complain about challenges that we get in team development. It is an opportunity for growth, and that's what today was about. And so we'll learn from it, and hopefully we'll perform a little better in some instances than we did today under those conditions. You know, we got 17 regular scheduled opportunities, man. All of them are important. Weather conditions can't be a factor in terms of the quality of our play. And opportunities like this really give us an opportunity to make that point, to learn and grow. And develop the necessary skills in order to make that reality. I'll pause and open it up for questions.
Mike, talking to some of the veterans, they talk about always helping the younger players, educating them, sharing their knowledge. Is that something that you encourage? Because people are still out here battling for jobs and trying to earn a place on this team.
It's something that I encourage. I think it's a component of our culture that we value. You know, formal and informal learning, coach to player, player the player. We don't care about what means the developmental process happens, and particularly the veteran player is a source of information and experience that you know, eases the process for young people. And so the veteran players here know that we're going to need plays from these young guys, and so they're just doing their part to help them in terms of their readiness.
Mike, with that said, Nick Herbig talked earlier about picking some things up from TJ already. Have you noticed any extra juice from him to start this camp?
I have not.
I mean, when you have a guy like Nick, who's a rookie, who's coming into this thing fresh, I mean, and he's trying to get reps, I mean, how much more of an emphasis is learning from a guy like a TJ?
You know, I appreciate TJ's willingness to help him, but that's not TJ's responsibility. But that's just a component of the team. I just don't want to make more out of it than what it is.
Mike, earlier today, James Harrison was named to the Hall of Honor. What was it like coaching James?
It was a treat, you know? First of all, man, James loves football. James is a good teammate. James is a hard worker and tremendous competitor. And heaped on top of all of that, man, he was an awesome character, man. He was a guy that brought energy and laughter to our day. Just an awesome guy, man, and well-deserving of the honor.
His ability to keep things light, maybe one of the things people don't realize about him?
There's a lot of things that people don't realize about him, but he's a complex individual. I think that's why that those of us that have gotten the opportunity to know him really appreciate him.
Mike, Aaron Smith's going in as well. He was here today. Heath went in last year, was also here to be honored. What's it like for your guys on the roster to be able to see players of past or getting that honor to be able to come in and interact with them?
I think anytime our guys get an opportunity to interact with Steeler alumni, man, it's a benefit to them. We value that here, the oral history, the telling of how things were. And not only the guys that are being honored, we appreciate them, but, you know, Santonio Holmes was here today, and, man, I had a nice moment watching him and George Pickens, for example. We appreciate those Steelers for life and what they bring to us, not only in terms of words and inspiration and guidance, but just, you know, the knowing of the standard that is the Pittsburgh Steelers, and that work has already been done.
Like, how do you characterize Aaron's personality versus James?
A little bit more predictable.
I think you've thrown 5-6 different guys at slot corner so far. Is there anything specific you look, or is that just time will eventually, you know, work its way out?
We got great time. We got a lot of guys that show capabilities in that area. And what we're doing there is we're just not discounting anyone. We're giving everybody an opportunity to show what they're capable of. And obviously, as the road gets more narrow in this process, we'll reduce some of those numbers. But during this acclimation period, it is a great time to see who can execute assignments and in detail and so forth. And as we move into next week, man, tackling and things of that nature usually thins the herd.
Mike, one guy I don't know if we've asked you about since the spring is Hakeem Butler. Kind of an interesting backstory with him. What attracted you guys to him, and what does he have to show to maybe, you know, get some second team work?
We were interested in his big play ability when he came out of Iowa State a number of years ago. It was a guy with somewhat of a short football resume, more of a basketball guy growing up, and we saw upside in that. He was a big-time one-on-one playmaker. You know, we've kind of followed him and tracked him. He did similar things in the spring league this year. Man, we had an opportunity to sign him, and time will tell in terms of the reps, man. People are working where they're working right now, but we're still acclimating. We're not overreacting to things that are transpiring out there at this point and changing groups and things of that nature. He'll get plenty of opportunity to show his capabilities.
Labs, one thing before we hit our first break here that I wanted to talk about that Tomlin said was the injury report at the very beginning there. Unfortunately, the luck kind of ran out. First couple of days, the only injuries that showed up were heat fatigue. DeMonte Casey had an ankle injury. Alphonso Graham appeared to have a shoulder injury. But the good news still is, doesn't look like any of them are too serious. I know Tomlin mentioned Casey might need a day or two, but still, so far, so good as far as the long-term injury front.
Yeah, and, you know, we're moving quickly into the real football period of training camp. You know, pads go on Tuesday, August the 1st, and, you know, I think it's pretty obvious, should be obvious to everyone that once, you know, the pads start popping, you know, and guys now start getting into the spirit of the sport, you know, because as Mike Tomlin always says, football is a game played in pads, you know, you're going to have the potential for more serious, possibly bumps and bruises. And, you know, it's one of those things where you just kind of hope for the best, but you hope your roster is prepared for the worst.
Well, the offense won the first edition of Seven Shots a couple of days ago. Would the defense get their revenge yesterday? We'll talk about the result of that drill coming up, and we'll also hear from Steelers tight end Connor Hayward. That's all on the way on the Training Camp Report on SNR.
This is the Training Camp Report with Tom Opperman and Bob Labriola on Steelers Nation Radio.
The Steelers defense had their revenge yesterday during Seven Shots, Labs. The offense got the better of them 5-2 on the first session of Seven Shots a couple of days ago. Yesterday's practice, same score, just the result going to the other side of the football. So the defense was the unit that got to eat pretty good last night.
Yeah, and you know, this is one of the things I think that we will kind of be a theme, one of the many themes of practice on a day-to-day basis during the grind of this training camp, is how one unit will, I won't say get embarrassed, but maybe lose a particular competition period, and then how that unit comes back in the next installment of it. You know, now seven shots obviously is something that happens pretty much every day, and so it's easy to keep track. But in other situations, for example, backs on backers, you know, that's also one where I know that the coaches look for the guys who lost, quote unquote, the competition, how they perform the next time, you know, it comes up. You also see, you know, there will be backs on backers, and then there's backs on backers pass. You know, the first backs on backers, what everyone thinks about is how the offensive players are blocking the defensive players. Backs on backers pass, you know, really kind of flips the switch, because in the first version, the advantage is all with the defense. I mean, they got a running start,
yeah.
You know, and the blocker, whoever it is, is not allowed to cut the guy. So you got to pretty much stand in there and let yourself get run over by a moving car, you know, and see if you can hold on. I mean, that's what that is. Now, backs on backers pass, it's the same drill, but it flips the advantage heavily to the offense, because it's a situation where the linebacker has to cover the guy all over the field, and there's no pass rush. I mean, think about that.
Sweet revenge for the running backs.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you might run over Jaylen Warren, I'm just picking a name out, in the regular backs on backers, but now you've got to cover him. I mean, he can make you look really silly in the past version of that, as he may have been made to look in the other version, you know, when maybe he gets run over by, you know, a James Harrison kind of guy. So, yeah, this is the ebb and flow of training camp that we see, and a lot of times get to enjoy as we chronicle it and then report about it. Specifically yesterday's seven shots, you know, this was kind of a day, I thought, throughout the practice, where the defense, you know, got the better of just about everything. And, you know, it's one of those things where, since it's always Steelers on Steelers, it depends on how you want to view the competition. If you want to be happy that one unit won, okay, but then you have to look at it that the reason that the one unit won was because the other unit got defeated. And so there's the, you know, good news, bad news factor all the time. So yesterday, again, back to seven shots, it was a 5-2 victory for the offense in the first one, and it ended up being a 5-2 victory for the defense in the second one. The first snap, Kenny Pickett hit George Pickens with a pass, but he kind of bobbled it a little bit. The defender was there, and he was not able to secure the catch, to use the terminology that the NFL official would have used in that situation, and so it fell incomplete. The next snap, Pickett was under heavy rush, got flushed out of the pocket, couldn't really find anyone open, threw incomplete. And then the third play, Pickett's pass was batted down at the line of scrimmage. So now there you go. It's if you're an offensive fan, it's love three.
Yes.
So then Pickett throws a touchdown pass to Zach Gentry, makes it 3-1. And then, as has been the procedure so far in this drill, Kenny Pickett then is replaced by Mitch Trubisky. Trubisky comes on, throws a touchdown pass to Connor Hayward, so it's 3-2. Then it's getting you know, a little bit closer. The sixth play, Trubisky threw incomplete to Cody White, so the drill is now, it's clinched for the defense, but they still run You know, the full seven plays, the final snap. Gunnar Olszewski made a nice diving catch, but he came up short of the goal line. So 5-2 defense. As you mentioned, they ate good last night. And probably as important to that is they got revenge because yes. These guys are all highly competitive. You know, offense versus defense, they're all on the same team and everything. But, you know, for those hour or whatever it is down in the field, everybody wants to win for their own side, for their own sake, for whatever. And what I'm noticing, you know, I got to give Mike Pursuta some credit for this because he and I were just kicking around what we saw yesterday afterwards. And the Steelers quarterbacks were under pressure the entire session. I mean, I really can't remember either Pickett or Trubisky being able to be in the pocket, clean pocket, survey downfield and pick a receiver and throw the ball. You know, they were always getting flushed or, you know, having to make a guy miss and then, you know, move around in the pocket to try and get the ball down the field a little bit. And it was starting to, I won't say bother me, but, you know, I'm thinking, God, what happened to the offensive line? You know, what's going on? And, you know, Pursuta made the point, and it's a good one. There's no hitting. So if you're trying to pass block T.J. Watt or Alex Highsmith, you know, or, you know, even Nick Herbig, and it's just a battle of quickness and you really can't get a body on him, you're going to lose that every time. Yes. I mean, you know, Alex Highsmith is, to say he's deserving of the contract extension, I think is a understatement. Whether particular fans might agree with the numbers, you know, sometimes it's just the cost of doing business. It seems like a lot of money, but it's relatively speaking, you know, everything is more expensive than it was yesterday, even at the grocery store. So it just kind of, you know, you have to kind of take it with a grain of salt. But Alex Highsmith, when he's coming off that edge and you can't hit him, it's just not fair. And so that at least helped me to accept what I was seeing, you know, in a little bit of a more rational way. And because as I said, there was a lot of guys coming in and disrupting things. Pickett had a lot of passes batted at the line of scrimmage. Cam Hayward was, you know, if you can't, how do you keep Cam Hayward out of wherever he wants to go if you can't put your body on him, you know, and block him? I mean, I the more I thought about that, it's just unfair. I mean, I don't know what you're supposed to do to keep things within the rules of the acclimation period, padless practice stuff. How do you keep Cam Hayward out of the backfield? Pray. Ask him, hey, Cam, can you give me a break? Does Mike Tomlin go to him and say, hey, you know, we actually have to try and get some things done here on offense. Could you dial it back a little bit? That's never going to happen. So practices end up kind of looking the way they did. And before any fans who might have been here yesterday who are listening to this and thinking that, since I haven't mentioned Mason Rudolph as a guy who was under a lot of pressure, before you want to give all of that credit to, you know, Mason Rudolph or the third string offensive line, understand that who wasn't on the field for the defense with those groups. And so, you know, I think it's easier, no disrespect to Mason Rudolph or any of those other guys, but you know, when you're going against the third team defense and Watt and Highsmith and Cam and Ogunjobi and all those guys are already on the sideline, you know, you should be able to do a little bit more than you can do against the defense when those other guys are on the field. So, you know, as I said, it's padless practice, give and take, ebb and flow, whatever kind of cliche phrases you want to use to describe it. And I can tell you this, I'm ready for Tuesday.
Yes,
now.
Me too.
I've seen enough of this. I understand that it has value. And you know, Mike Tomlin turned yesterday really into a huge teaching experience because of the rain. You know, and just to give a little bit of the sequences of what happened yesterday, you know, when we do this, this appears on Steelers Nation Radio live from 8 to 9 every day. There's practice. So, and I'm explaining it this way for the people who might be listening to this as a podcast. So, okay, yesterday at 8 o'clock when we started doing this, it was raining. And the forecast was brutal. What we had been told was going to be the likelihood of the way the day was going to unfold. And so I'm thinking, oh God, what's going to happen? We're going to go in, they're going to go into the gym. I mean, I hate those going into the gym thing. You can't, there's nowhere to stand to watch. You don't see anything. I mean, it's like watered down walkthrough,
yep,
which is just awful. So when we were done, you know, I started getting ready for the Hall of Honor thing, which was going to start at 1 o'clock. And I'm starting to do the preparation and stuff. And I noticed that out on the field, they had tarped the one field overnight because it rained. And they were out there blowing the water off the tarp. And, you know, usually that's the first step of taking the tarp off. And I'm thinking, well, why are you doing that? I mean, what, you're blowing the water off just to let it rain more? I mean, how, what's the point? And so then I saw the one security guard and I mentioned it and he said, no, there's a window in the forecast around noon that, you know, it might stop. I'm thinking, yeah, okay. So then you wait a little bit longer and they are starting to take the tarp off. And then I saw someone from football operations and they at the time they said, you know, there's real, a real sense of belief / hope that we can get this practice in. I'm thinking, wow, that's great. So then the clouds clear, blue skies. And I'm thinking, well, this is tremendous. And so then anyone who was, you know, watching, you know, the Hall of Honor, was on all the Steelers, social platforms and streamed live and all that stuff. If there was some scene shots and it was sunny out,
yeah,
blue sky. Practice started when Mike Tomlin addressed the fans, welcomed them as part of the, you know, back together NFL initiative football weekend where NFL Network was covering all training camps. Yesterday, it was blue skies. I mean, it was nice out. But then, you know, it's Latrobe. And soon enough, it got cloudy. Then it got gray. Then it started to rain a little bit. And then for about, I don't know, maybe 15 minutes, you'd swear that there were, oh, yeah, you'd swear that there were, you know, firemen standing on the roof of the buildings around the field, just blowing fire.
I wouldn't put that past Tomlin to execute that, to try to create some adversity.
And, you know, it was so bad. There were a couple of times I thought they can't continue.
Yeah, someone's knee's going to get hurt.
Or it just serves no purpose. You know, you're worried about maybe destroying the turf and then you got problems for multiple days after. But, you know, the irrigation system, the drainage system, I mean, not irrigation. Irrigation creates more water. Drainage takes it away. Yeah, right. You know, held up nicely. And Mike Tomlin, it was a special teams session when the deluge opened up. Me being a smart aleck, the first thing I think of is even God doesn't like special teams practice.
Trying to end this thing.
Yeah. But Mike Tomlin gathered the group that was out there on the field, and that's when he, you know, as he mentioned, referenced in his post-practice remarks, he called the guys up and, you know, talked about the importance of, you know, fighting through this. And so, and they stayed with it. And, you know, there was some slipping a little bit. There was also an instance where Kenny Pickett's pass, he threw one over the middle. It was a nice throw on the money. Had some zip to it, NFL caliber. I went right through the receiver's hands and was intercepted. And, you know, that's another teaching moment. You know, you got to try and get these guys to understand that the ball becomes heavier and slicker, slipperier. And also you want to tell the quarterbacks that when you're delivering these passes, you may have to put it on the guy's body instead of having them reach for it. Because if there's a lot of velocity on a ball that you have to reach for, the chances of it going through your hands are obviously higher. So, yeah, teaching moment. Mike Tomlin loves misery. You know, he just does, especially during training camp. And the fact that he had an opportunity to teach heat for a couple of days and how to deal with that, hydrate, you know, take care of our bodies, and then teach wet a day where, you know, you have to power through this and stay on your feet and, you know, the other things that I'm sure go into how you're supposed to do that. I don't know if it means shortening your stride or, you know, whatever. Things that someone like me with absolutely no athletic ability would have no idea, you know, what those are. But, yeah, he loves it. He loves this kind of stuff. And he got a little bit of just about everything except snow, which I'm hoping that doesn't happen here for a while, right in the first few days of camp.
We're going to hear from Connor Hayward on the other side of the break here. He stopped by and chatted with Mike Prezuta and Craig Wolfley, and then we'll wrap things up before the Steelers take the field at 1:55 today for the final day of the acclimation period before those pads come on Tuesday next week. We'll be back in just a second here on the Training Camp Report on SNR.
Whether I do good or the other guys do good, we're just trying to get better each and every day. And whenever, you know, I'm out there, I just try to make the most of my opportunities and do whatever the coaches tell me to do and just, you know, try to do it with the best technique.
Connor, we're going to jump to going backwards a little bit. How is it that you got an older brother born to play on the defensive side of the ball, but you were born on the righteous offensive side of the ball? I mean, how does that happen in the same household?
I would say I'm an athlete. Growing up and being recruited, a lot of teams wanted me to play offense and defense, and then I went to Michigan State, ended up committing there. Started off on offense, but if that didn't work out, they wanted me to play defense. But I'm glad the offensive side of the ball worked out because I just love offense. You know, offense, you know, the guys get a little bit more love, and defense, you know. You make your own plays on defense, though. On offense, you got to work as a unit, and that's something that I like. You know, you got to rely on the quarterback, the O-line, and everybody do their job.
Connor, I mentioned or referenced you as a tight end, I think, at the outset of this interview. What's the designation? What's the proper way to identify you? Is it tight end? Is it fullback? Is it H-back? Is it something else?
Honestly, I don't know. I don't want to limit myself to one particular position. I think I can do a lot of things on the offensive side of the ball, but that goes with a lot of guys. Darnell could play, you know, multiple positions, Pat, Zach. You know, and all the receivers we have, a lot of guys that are versatile, Calvin Austin, you know, Ant McFarland, Jalen Warren, Najee, a lot of guys can do a lot of things. And, you know, I kind of look at myself as a football player, you know, just plugging myself in and being able to play wherever the coaches want me to play and just doing that at a high level.
You know, Connor, your skill set is very impressive, whether it be blocking, running routes, being able to read coverages, all those sorts of things. Yet at the same time, I look and I watch you catch the ball, and I've heard whisperings from teammates and other people say, you got one of the best pairs of hands in training camp. How so does that go, man? I mean, that's pretty impressive when you got some pass catchers like we do, and you got some people that really recognize your talent for catching that pigskin.
Yeah, I think not just me, but everybody else. You know, you've seen George make some crazy highlight catches, Deontay, Allen, you know. I always try to catch it with two hands, you know. Sometimes you're going to catch it with one. You know, Pat has a lot of acrobatic catches. But at the end of the day, you just want to come down with it. And, you know, that's the goal each and every play when the ball's thrown and put in the air, you know, whether you got to dunk on somebody like Coach T says, you know, or if you got to catch it low or, you know, catch it wherever the quarterback puts it. You know, but Kenny, Mason, and Trubisky are doing a good job of, you know, finding the open receiver and just putting the ball up and trusting the guys and to make a lot of plays.
Labs, when Prezuda asked Connor about his position designation, you know, he's listed as a tight end, but is that really all he can play? And, you know, Connor was so open and saying, you know, I can do whatever the coaching staff wants me to do. I think the term Swiss Army knife, you know, it's a cliche to assign that to a lot of players, but he really fits that cliche. He can do a bit of everything.
Yeah, and to me, that's going to be really, as this continues, you know, and as Mike Tomlin says, the road narrows to the, you know, formulating of the 53-man roster part of training camp in the preseason. You know, Connor Hayward's versatility, how does that impact the numbers that the Steelers decide to keep at tight end and in the backfield? You know, is he going to be seen more as a fullback, and so maybe then they keep three other tight ends? Or does he end up being viewed as a tight end, and maybe they keep another running back and one fewer tight end? Because really, I think that he can do, you know, either. And, yeah, you know, maybe his role somehow evolves into, you know, half and half. And, you know, another factor that will be considered, I'm sure, once, you know, we get to that part of the summer, is how injuries or other things have impacted either those two positions or other positions. So, you know, when Mike Tomlin and Omar Khan are putting together the 53-man roster, you know, do you have to keep, say, an extra, and I'm just picking this out of the sky, you know, an extra defensive lineman because there are some nagging injuries there? And do you save or compensate for that by keeping one fewer tight end or running back? So, Connor Hayward, you know, Swiss Army knife, I think is a pretty accurate description of him, certainly at this stage of it. And it could impact decisions made later on in this process. I think it's going to be something that's going to be interesting to keep an eye on as this thing gets into the preseason and then a little bit beyond that.
Labs, you think you can make it through one more padless practice? You just got to get through one more. Do you have what it takes?
It doesn't matter whether I have what it takes or not. I mean, it's something you have to do. And the players do as well. So my version of getting through it is a lot easier and more comfortable than theirs. And so I think I'll just suck it up for one more day. How about you?
I'll be able to get through it. Yeah, it'll be a slog, but a Tuesday on the horizon will help me push through this final day. Reminder, there is no training camp practice tomorrow. That means there is no training camp report tomorrow, but Labs and I will be back on Tuesday morning getting you ramped up for that first padded practice at training camp. We're going in the locker room next. Wolf and Starks taking over as our 2023 training camp coverage continues on SNR.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.